If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, do appreciate the Lord. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Bible says this. I'm going to start at verse number 1. The Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that y'all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. That's encouragement, uplifting. He said, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine? And even things without life give a sound, whether pipe or harp, except they have a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if a trumpet giveth an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye all speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of tongues and voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. He that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel in the edifying of the church. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou hast shalt bless with the Spirit, and shall he, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen, if any give a giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now watch this. He said, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with mine understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I want to preach for a little while tonight, if God be my help, on this thought. Words of understanding. Amen. Words of understanding. I want to focus on this tonight. We see Paul, and he's talking about people are desiring spiritual gifts. They're desiring to do something for the Lord. They're desiring to be motivated and to have God move in their life and use them. Amen. That's what they're wanting here in Corinthians. And Paul's talking to them in this thing of speaking in tongues. And Paul said it's when you speak in tongues, you're just speaking to yourself and to God. And the people around you won't understand. He even goes as far to say if you speak in an unknown tongue and it's illegible and people don't know what you're saying, you're like a barbarian or a heathen person to them, and they're like a heathen person to you. Man, just don't understand each other, and nobody will receive help from it. Amen? So Paul's saying if you're going to do that, he said it needs to be interpreted, praise God, so that it can be. He said it's all about the edification or the encouragement of the church. He says in verse number 3, he said, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He said that's what we need to be trying to give to the church today, is that, he said, prophesying or giving the word of God is speaking unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. That's what we ought to be wanting to pass out in a liberal fashion in the house of God today. Amen? Praise God. So we see Paul telling this. He said, and he says, I'd rather speak. Now watch what he says here in verse number 19. And this is kind of our springboard tonight where we want to get started. He said, in the church, in the church. I had rather speak five words with mine understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Amen. So Paul said here, he said, I'd rather speak five words if my understanding. Amen. Something, what Paul was saying, Brother Bill, he said, I want to speak five words that I understand. Amen. Five words that I know about. Amen. Five words that I can confirm on. Five words that I'm sure of. Five words that I know will make a difference in the lives of the people, in your life, in mine. Paul said, hey, I'd rather speak five words that come from God, that edify and lift up my heart, than 10,000 words, praise God, just mumbo jumbo. Amen. He said, I'd rather speak five words. And so I got to think about this, and we see Paul as he says this. He said, I had rather speak five words. I got to thinking about five words that'll make a difference in their life. Amen. Praise God. Remember when you was lost and undone without Christ and you didn't know what you needed or where you need to get it from? Amen. We're running to and fro in the world. I told Brother Joey, he said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing like Daniel said in 12. And Daniel 12, I'm just running to and fro. Seems like that's what we do. We just go here, there, and yonder, and we're trying to do everything for everybody and do everything at once, and that's all right, praise God. That's just the way life is. And it seems like it gets busier and busier as years go by, as days go by. And well, I think it's just we find more to do. Amen? Some people do and some people don't. Amen? Some people don't care if they do anything or not. But praise God, there's a whole lot of people that are like us. We want to get things done, and we do as much as we can, praise God. Paul was talking about, he said, I'd rather speak five words in mine understanding by my voice, because of out of what I know, what I can tell people, praise God, than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Amen. Where I'm just speaking to me, God, and the Spirit of God, there may be a moving in it, but nobody will get any help from it. And Paul begins to speak, and I begin to think, praise God, there's five words all through the Bible that would make a difference in somebody's life. And a lot of people say, well, preacher, if I just knew what to say, praise God, that would cause old sinners to repent and have people get in, encourage somebody, praise God, well, wouldn't it be a blessing? Well, I want to give you just a few passages of Scripture tonight, if we can take and use, praise God, to the edifying of God's people. Amen. That'll help somebody that don't know Jesus. And somebody help somebody don't realize they're a sinner, know they're a sinner. Somebody don't need to, praise God, know that they need to be saved to be saved. Somebody that don't ever think upon Christ, praise God, to think upon Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And somebody that's ever not, that may have never thought about death and dying, praise God, and standing before thrice holy God to think about that tonight. If we could get those five simple thoughts into hearts and minds of people, praise God, God could make a difference in their lives. Amen. And it could just take five precious verses from Scripture, from the Word of God, to make that difference. You say, Pastor, you tell us if we could just take five verses of Scripture and memorize them, get them down pat, and show them to people that they could see it, realize what needs to be done, and be saved? Absolutely. Amen. Five words, praise God. Paul said, I'd rather speak five words with mine understanding. Five words from the Word of God, what God has showed me, than 10,000 unknown tongue. 10,000 words of the direction, instruction that I don't know nothing about. Amen. I don't know about the angels in heaven. I don't know about, all I know is what God tells us. They're ministering spirits that minister to God. Amen. I don't know how they act and react, praise God, but I know how the Holy Spirit does in my heart. I know what God does for me, and I know what God will do for you, praise God, if we'll just trust in He says we'll trust and obey. Praise God, we can see mighty things from the hand of God. Amen. So we see Paul said, I'd rather speak five words in my understanding. I won't give you five words tonight, three different places. Look at Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. The Bible says this in verse number 6. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen? So the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 5, he said, when we were out strength, you and me, we didn't have no strength, we didn't have no power to overcome, we couldn't get past obstacles, we didn't know what we need to do or how we need to do it. He said, when we were helpless, without strength, at just the right time, not a minute late and not a minute early. Amen. God Almighty, Jesus Christ, was right on time to come to where you was. Amen. And he says these five words. Paul says these five words in verse chapter 5, in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 6. Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. Praise God. So we can take those five words, that Christ died for the ungodly. Now, what is that? That's the people that's outside the will of God. Those people that don't know that they need God. They don't need a relationship. They think they're bebopping along and they're making it okay. Kind of like most of the world we live in today. They think everything is okay when it's not. You say, preacher, what's messed up? They're messed up when they don't realize that they need to be saved. That Jesus Christ come to seek and to save those who's ungodly. Amen? So the Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 5, if Paul could say five words, he'd say, praise God, that Christ died for the ungodly. Amen? Those that are outside of God's will, those that are running on their own, that's going contrary to the things of God, the way of God, the Word of God, and the reality of God and the truth of God. There's a lot of people running that way tonight in ungodly. But Bible says that Christ died for those ungodly people. Amen. Ain't you glad that he did? Praise God, that caused me at one day, one time, you and I were those ungodly people. We were out there in the world, and we may have been. I told you this morning, we was making good living. We was doing things right. We were praise God according to our flesh. We was putting things in order, our order, not God's order, and we thought we were running well. But God Almighty, praise God, he had a different opinion of what we were doing. Amen. If we're not trusting him, if we're not putting the Lord Jesus Christ, making him the Lord of our life, praise God, we're running for naught. Solomon built everything. He built the temple of Israel, one of the most magnificent temples. But praise God, he said everything he done was in vain. Everything we can do is in vain if we put it before God Almighty. But praise God, Paul said that Christ died for those ungodly, those people that's putting everything in this world before we put God. I want to say God, Lord Jesus Christ is the most important thing that we have. Praise God, it's the most important thing that we can come in contact with that'll help us and change us throughout our lives. It'll make us and mold us in the person God would have us to be. In the likeness and the image of our Savior. Praise the Lord. So we see in five words here, Paul says in Romans 5, in five simple words, he tells us that Christ died on purpose, praise God, for our sins, for ungodliness, praise God. He said, when we were helpless, when we were lost, Jesus died right on time for your sins and mine. Amen. I'm glad he wasn't late, ain't you? I might have passed through this world and died in my sins if it hadn't been for Jesus Christ, my Savior. But I'm glad, praise God, I lived in a day and an hour when I got to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And he began to move upon my heart, showed me I was lost and undone, and I needed to be saved. I was just an old godly, ungodly heathen. Amen. Praise God. He said he died for the ungodly. Amen. And then Paul would go on in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. He would tell them this in chapter number 15 in verse number 3. He's talking to these folks in Corinth. And he says, well, let's go back to verse number 6. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Thank God for that. Amen. Ain't you glad there's still some people standing in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now watch what he says. For I delivered you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. If we could tell people five words tonight, we could tell them that Christ died for the ungodly, which we are. We're lost and undone without God. And that Christ died, here he says in verse number 3, Christ died, five words, for our sins. Amen? Five words, Christ died for our sins. You could tell somebody tonight that Jesus Christ, that he died for the ungodly, and that Jesus Christ died for their sins. If we can get people to realize they're ungodly, that they're going in the wrong direction, praise God, then we can get them to see that they're so sinners in need of a Savior. And that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and that Jesus died for their sins. Amen. Ours, mine and yours. Praise God. Ain't you glad it's that way? Amen. Praise God. I'm glad he didn't just die for some and he didn't die for others. But he's a whosoever God. Jesus come to seek and to save those that were lost. Who was it? That was every one of us, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ come to pay the price of sin. Praise God. If we could just tell them that Jesus, that Christ died for the ungodly and that Christ died for our sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. Died for your sin. You said you don't have to continue in your sin. So you can tell people tonight, praise God, because Jesus died for your sins. It was a personal thing to Christ. It was a personal thing for him to die for your sins and mine. Amen. He come with the purpose to your sins. Amen. What? He loved you that much. Ere you knew him, yet he loved you. Praise God. And he determined in his heart from the foundation of the earth, praise God, to die for your sins. Amen. So Christ died. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that Christ died, five words, for our sins. Mine and yours. So that through him, praise God, we might be saved. Amen. Praise God. So we see Christ died for the ungodly. We see Christ died for our sins. Our sins. Personal sins. Amen. Praise God. It's not just, this is not just a corporate thing that we're getting part of, praise God. We all sin come short of the glory of God, but Jesus died for our sins, for yours and for mine. Amen. He personally died for you. Amen. Praise God. That's enough to make Kobab to shout. Because Jesus died for you. He loved you that much. Amen. Praise God. He died for you, praise God, so that you could be born again. Amen. Look at John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, as we buzz through these things. Praise God, looking for the author and the finish of our faith, praise God, just to touch our hearts. Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says in John chapter number 3, in verse number 7, well, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. You remember the story. Jesus says in verse number 3, he said, Jesus answered, said unto him, Brother, brother, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, now watch this, verse number 7. He said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must, five words, ye must be born again. Amen? Five words. He said, ye must, not you could, you might. He said, but ye must be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means to be born from above. It means the Holy Ghost of God speaks. He said, through the Word, through the water, and through the Spirit. He said, it takes the water, the Word of God, amen, to convict your heart and show you that you're just an old sinner needing of a Savior. Praise God, that Christ died for the ungodly, that Christ died for old sinners, and that ye must be born again. Amen. Said, must be born. We had one birth. Amen. I was born October 18, 1963. I lost it there, Junior. Amen. October 18, 1963, praise God, I was born in Mission Hospital. I guess it's a mission. Amen. I don't remember that. You remember your birthday? Amen. Praise God. I do good. Just remember what day it is. Amen. Praise God. I don't remember when I was born. I don't remember when I come in. I don't remember my fleshly birth, Brother Robert. I don't remember it. Hey, we were born the same year. You were just born before me. You're an old man. And I'm still young. Amen. But praise God, I was born I don't remember my fleshly birth. Amen. I don't remember when my mother delivered me in Asheville, North Carolina. I don't remember that. I've seen pictures of it in close relations thereof. Amen. But I don't remember when I was born physically. But I remember when I was born again. Amen. I remember when God come to where I was and saved my soul, praise God, from the devil's hell. Praise God. When God spoke to my heart, he said, you must be born again. He meant that. And he made provision so that you and I could be born again. Born from above, praise God. The water speaking in our heart, the Word of God speaking in our heart, showing us that we were ungodly, we were old sinners, praise God, in need of a Savior, and we must be born again. Born anew, born afresh, born from above. Amen. That we have a godly birth. Amen. When God, the Holy Spirit, moves upon our hearts and shows us that we're old sinners and need to be saved, and that God Almighty made provision for you and me so that we can be saved, so that we can be born again. Praise God. Ain't you glad for that? Amen. There's a whole lot of people, praise God, that deny and reject that and won't receive that birth that God has for them. The Jews did that. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 1, praise God, he's talking about that took place. He said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He come to the Jew, and the Jews refused him. They rejected him. Amen. They willingly and willfully rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say there's a whole lot of people today in the world in which we live are willfully, praise God, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. He came to his own received him not, but as many, now watch this, as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's that birth from above. Amen. That power to become a child of God comes from God Almighty down to usward. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. We have a gift from God, praise God, so that we can be born again. He said, you must be born again. Five simple words. Ye must be born again. Even to the saving of a soul. He said, but as many as received him, to him gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do we get saved? By believing on Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on his name. Believe on what he did. Believe on who he is. He said, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Amen. It's not like an earthly, a physical birth. He said, nor of the will of men or man, but of God. It's God's will that you be saved. Amen. It is God's will that you and I be saved. So Paul said, if I could just give them five simple words, yeah, I'd say you must be born again. You must have that spiritual birth from above. Without it, praise God, men will perish. But praise God, with that, men will flourish. Amen. Glad it's that way, ain't you? Praise God, and one day we'll fly away out of here and we'll go to be with him where he is. And there shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm glad it's that way. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad I don't have to doubt and wonder where I'm going to spend eternity, because God has already made provision that Christ died for the ungodly, that Christ died for sinners, and that he said, you must be born again. And if he tells me to be born again, he'll make provision for that birth. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Through Christ Jesus, the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, what do you think about Christ? Amen. What do you think about Christ? That would be the next five words I would ask. Look at Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter 22. That's what the Lord asked in Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41, the old Pharisees, of course, we know who they are. And while the Pharisees, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41 says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. Now they'd been asking him a whole heap of questions. Amen. He had been giving them answers, praise God, that they couldn't even conceive. It was above their heads. And they were supposed to be scholars of the law. They were supposed to know what thus says the Word of God. Amen. But Jesus Christ asked them this question. Matthew 22 and verse 42. And he asked them, saying, five words, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? The Christ, the anointed one of God. The promise of God. He said, what do you think about the Christ? Amen. I wonder if we ask ourselves the question, not what do we think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? Who is Christ? What does he do? Is he important? Amen. He's the Savior of the universe. He's the anointed one of God. God sent him. He sent his only begotten Son that through him we might be saved. Praise God. So he asked a question. Five words. What think ye of Christ? Amen. What do you think? What do you think about, say, he asked these Pharisees this question. He said, what do you think about the Christ? He said, what do you think about? Who do you reckon he is? What do you think he'll be like? Amen. I said, well, you know, we really don't know. And he says this. He said, whose son is he? And they say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on the right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Amen. Praise the Lord. They had the genealogy. Thank God they knew that he was the son of David. They just couldn't realize that he was the son of God. Praise the Lord. There's a whole lot of people that know who he is or think they do, but they don't recognize him as the son of God and the Savior of the universe. They don't realize that through him we might be saved. The Lord said unto, the Lord said unto my Lord, because sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. He said, if David then called him Lord, how is he his son? He said, and no man was able to answer him a word. Neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Amen. Jesus had done put him to shame. He said, who is the Christ? What think ye of Christ? What does he mean to you? What does he represent? And they said, well, we really don't know. You know what's wrong with the world today? There's a whole lot of people that still don't really know. Because we don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we don't know who he is. That he is the anointed one of God. That he is the anointed of God. That God sent him. That through him and him alone, praise God, we can be saved. Praise God. I'm glad Paul said, I'd rather speak five words. Five words unto salvation of the soul. Five words that'll make a difference in your life throughout eternity. World without end. See, there's coming a time in our, praise God, this old world is going to just fizzle out. One day, there's coming a day when this old world is going to be burnt with fire and this world is going to be purified. But praise God, I'm glad I've got a place prepared for him that's prepared a place for me. And one day in a little while, I'm going, he said, what think ye of Christ? I think he's the Lord of glory. I think he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I think he is the high potent of heaven, praise God. He's the Lord and Savior, praise God. He is the Savior of humanity. He's my Savior and your Savior. That's what I think of Christ. We have to ask ourselves, now what think ye of Christ? We ought to have an answer for that. See, I think he's the Lord of my life, amen. The Savior of my soul. He died for my sins. Praise God. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners, praise God. He said, I must be born again and trust in the Lord. Praise his holy name. He said, what think you of Christ? I think he's the Savior of the world. Praise God. We prepare a place and prepare a time because there's five other words, praise God. If you look at Amos chapter number 4, in Amos chapter number 4, it's in the Old Testament right at the back in the Minor Prophets. In Amos chapter number 4, we have five words here that humanity will have to contend with. Amen. Praise God. And we better be thinking seriously about how we live our lives and the choices that we make. We, you, I have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord or Savior. Or the old proverbial, they'll be hell to pay. Amen. And Amos says this to the church or to the nation of Israel. And he might as well be speaking to the church tonight as he brings up the chastening of God, and God comes down to the point and he says he's dealing with Israel, and he said, okay, he said, have you had enough, and are you ready, praise God, to just come back and draw nigh unto me, to come back to the Lord, to get where I'm trying to get you, where I'd like for you to be. And he says this in Amos chapter 4 and verse number 11. He said, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He said, I tried to preserve you alive. I tried to bring you out. He said, some of you are just like a firebrand that's plucked out of a charcoal that's plucked out of the fire. He said, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this again, or this unto thee, five words, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Amen. Listen, we need to heed these words. Five words, praise God, that Amos spoke to the nation of Israel of when they were turned and rebelled against God and they would not draw back to God. I want to look at America tonight, the country that we live in, and we've turned our back on God. They say now only 32 to 35% of Americans have claimed to have any kind of religious affiliation and or trust in Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm glad they still that many, but praise God. God, listen, there's a day of reckoning coming. God's a speaking. Five words he proclaims here to the nation of Israel. Be five words he could proclaim to the United States of America. Prepare to meet thy God. Amen. There's a day of reckoning coming. Bible says it appointed man wants to die, and after this the judgment. We're all going to stand and give an account to God. He said, Brother Robert, he said, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Amen. It's coming not too soon, not too all, too far off. Sooner than you think. Praise God. There's going to be a day of declaration. There's going to be a declaring. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord to prepare to meet thy God. Prepare. Need to be prepared to meet the Lord. And you're going to meet him two places. We're going to either meet him at the judgment seat of Christ, or we're going to meet him at the great white throne judgment of God. Amen. There's only two places you're going to meet. You're going to meet him. Every one of us, every human being in the world is going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account of our life. And it's either going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, or it's going to be at the great white throne judgment. And Amos would say, God would tell us. He said, the same thing that he would tell Israel. He would say, prepare to meet thy God. Five words. Amen. We can tell people tonight, praise God, when we go through this, we can tell them, say, listen, God said, just you got to be prepared to meet God because you're going to stand in front of him. Whether you think so, whether you believe it or not, you're going to stand before God one day and give an account for yourself. What you did, what give you the opportunity God laid out for you. Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet your God? Amen? That's a scary thought. Amen? Unless you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, born again, say, hey, it's still scary. Because it's scary about thinking, standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and give account for everything we've done since the say. It's not about salvation. Amen. It's about what we did after we professed Christ, after we received Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. What we did for Him, praise God, while we was waiting to get home. We have to give an account for that. And we have to prepare to meet our God. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter number 20. It tells us about that. Revelation chapter 20. That's in the back of your Bible, by the way. Amen. When he says, prepare to meet thy God, which said we're going to have a judgment seat of Christ, we're going to stand before Christ and give an account for what we did, not for salvation, but for rewards. Amen. Praise God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we prayed to him, we lifted him up, we encourage others to draw nigh to Christ. We love the Lord. Bible said we love the Lord. You said, preacher, well, you know, I just can't do this and I can't do that. And I understand a lot of people can't do a whole lot of things. And the older you get, the harder it is. Hey, listen, if you're a young person, just get in, praise God tonight, and just go for God as hard as you can. Because there'll come a time in the day that you'll wish you had because you can't. Right. Amen. I think most of us, except for me, and she's done Christ. Amen. Our older folks, praise God, been in this a while. And I hope we've been doing something for Jesus, praise God. Try to lay up a little treasure over in heaven where a moth don't corrupt or corrode. Amen. Because that's what we're going to give account for. But praise the Lord. And I'm glad it's that way, ain't you? Yeah. And then lay up rewards so that we can give back to God because he gives so much for us. But he says in Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11, he said, I saw a great white. Now the devil's already gone when we get here. I hope you realize that. Amen. The battle of Gog and Magog, praise God, 1,000 years expired, and Satan's loose for a season, and God comes back, he comes back and he puts down the devil once and for all. The Bible says in verse number 10, he said, the devil and that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophets are. See, they were cast in there 1,000 years ago. Amen. They've been in the lake of fire ever since. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. No hope of parole. That's him. Praise God. Somebody will just jump up and take a lap because the devil ain't getting out. Amen. Praise God. Once he's cast into the fire, lake of fire to be kept, tormented, he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. That means he's forever and then add some. Amen. Praise God. Verse number 11 says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There was no place to hide. But I want you to notice here at this where this great white throne is, there's no rainbow of mercy. Amen. When John talks about it earlier in the earlier parts of Revelation, he's talking about that throne with a great rainbow. That's a rainbow of mercy. Amen. God give us, praise God, to show us that he'd never flood the earth again. But here we find no rainbow of mercy. We find the wrath of an almighty God with the rainbow missing. Amen. There's no place to hide. No place. He says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Listen, I don't want to be judged on what I did. I want to be judged on my faith in Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. Amen. He is my righteousness. Praise God. I'm putting all my faith in Him. I'm trusting in the Lord. Every day I have to ask Him to help me to do what I do that it might be found pleasing unto Him. Amen. Praise God. I try to maintain a vigilance in my heart, in my spirit. I say, Lord, please help me not to forget to remember You in everything that I do. It's easy to do. We get caught up in our work. We get caught up in relationships. We get caught up in the things that we do. If we ain't careful, we forget to remember God. But God is the one, Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the one that we need to guide us and to show us how to do right for His glory. Amen. 5 words, prepare to meet thy God. And he said, if judged according to their works. He said, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Can you imagine being in hell and being taken out of hell? To have to stand before God and give an account of your life, what you did. So, preacher, I thought I was good enough. You don't know how many times I've heard that in my career, amen, since I've become a preacher. And even before, I thought I was good enough. Amen, there's none of us good enough. Amen, without the Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. Our mediator placed between us and God to help us along the way. He said, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. To rise up from the very realm of hell, to stand before a thrice holy God and give account of ourselves, and He bring out all the documentation. Hello? All the documentation of your life. Kind of like that program it used to be on, this is your life. And God's got it documented without error. Amen. Absolute record of everything that you ever did. Every thought, every verbal communication, every action, and every reaction. Scary, isn't it? Amen. I believe I'm just going to put my faith and trust, Brother Bill, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask me to forgive me of my old rotten, filthy sinfulness, and I'm trusting in the righteousness of my Savior. Amen. I do the best I can. But Paul said, that I do, that would not that I do, and that I would, I do not. He said, I'm caught in a fray. He said, how can I escape this body of death that's decaying on me in this flesh that I live in? He said, it's through Jesus Christ, my Savior. Praise God, I come out ahead. He said, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Your name wasn't in the book of life. It don't matter. Praise God. Your name can be lit. Your good name could be written in every book and documentation in Buncombe County. How good you were, how good you treated your neighbors, how good a life you lived. And if you're lost without Christ, you die and go to hell. Amen. Praise God. But Paul said, listen, said, I'd rather speak five words with mine understanding. And I got to thinking about that as I was looking at this. Praise God. Just five places and five words that can change a life forever. Amen. Praise God. I understand why he says that. I understand why he would say these five simple, this simple word with five different, just five simple words. Praise God. He said, I'd rather speak five words of mine understanding, because Paul knew who Christ was and he knew what he had done to him on the road to Damascus. Paul went with letters in his hand to persecute the very Christ who met him on the road and the church. And Christ Jesus arrested his soul, praise God, and saved him by his marvelous grace. Amen. Jesus said, why? He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, they're goading you on, they're pushing you on, they're encouraging you on. But he said, but praise God, he said, you're persecuting the very one you think that you stand for. So he said, Paul, this is Christ. And son, I love you. And I died for you. Would you receive me as your Savior? Paul was a changed man. He went up there to Straight Street, 3 days pondering, thinking on it. Praise God, the Ananias come to him and said, Brother Saul, amen. Praise God, God sent me up here. Just tell you that he loves you. And he got something for you to do. You thought you were doing good. He said, but the Lord's got something better for you to do, Saul. Amen. Praise God. He said, he come out there and got baptized and went to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I met him on the road to Damascus. And he changed my life forever. On the road to Damascus. Five words. Changed Paul's life forever. Glory, hallelujah.